Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for so great a salvation, so great a love. The love of the Lord God, our Father's love. And that's something that I try to work on day by day and every day, just to try to know His love more completely and more fully. Our Father's love. And so that's what I want to try to accomplish with this message today, is to increase in every one of us a greater love for our Father. But in doing that, I'd like to begin with just talking about a few verses to lay kind of a background to this that will come up throughout the message. And the first one is in 1 Samuel 16, 7 and 8, where the Lord says, God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord is looking at our heart. In other words, He is much more concerned about why we do what we do than what we do. He's looking at our heart. Why are you doing that? What is your motivation? What is your purpose? Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives, why we are doing it. And in speaking and thinking about that, I'm reminded of the rich young ruler. Remember, he came to the Lord and he said, good teacher, what must I do to have salvation? And the Lord said, you know the commandments, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not cheat, honor your father and mother. And he said, all of these I have done from my youth up. He was very excited and happy. But the Lord saw his heart. And he said, one thing you lack. Go and sell all that you have and come to me. Come, follow me. And his head dropped, the young man's head dropped, and he went away sad because he was doing all of that for the wrong motive. He was doing all of that to look good. And the Lord weighs our motives. So the motives of why we do what we do are very, very important. And it's something we need to keep in mind and keep focused on. 1 Corinthians 4, 5, therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, because we have no idea what somebody else's motives are. Do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light, oh my goodness, the things hidden in the darkness, and disclose the motives of hearts. And then he ends it with such a positive, powerful phrase. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. Because he's going to be looking at the motives, our good motives, why we did what we did. James 4:3 goes along with this. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Oh. So that you may spend it upon your pleasures. So, all of that being said, what is the right motive? And I think the answer to that question is found when we ask the question, why did God send His only begotten Son into this world to be our Savior? John 3:16. God so loved. God so loved the world. God so loved you. God so loves us. Love was the motivation and is the motivation for everything our Father does for us. It's all out of a heart of love and compassion, passion for us. So, love should be and must be the motivation for everything we do. Now, that's a high standard. I mean, because sin is in us, but we're being renewed. Our mind's being renewed day by day. Praise the Lord. Old things be putting away and all things becoming new. But with that motive, love. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Christ Jesus, religious works do not mean anything, but faith working through love. Now, that's a hard one. There's a lot of religion in the world. In the eyes of the Lord, even as the Lord looked at the Pharisees, religious works with the wrong motives mean nothing. I mean, if you're doing it to look good as the Pharisees were doing and all, that just really is very upsetting to the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith working through love? Do you suppose that could mean that as my love for Jesus and God my Father grows, my faith grows? I think so. Thank you, Teresa. I think so. Isn't that good? So love is the motive. Love is the driving force, the driving power of everything that we should be doing, because even as our love grows, we can trust Him more, we can faith more, we'll speak more, we'll magnify His name more, we'll pray more for healing for the sick and raising the dead, and our faith will grow and we'll see wonderful things happen as our love for the Lord grows. Galatians 5:13, you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Love is the power. Love is the motive. But faith, hope, love abide. These three, but the greatest of all of these is love. The foundation, that for which everything is built on in Christianity, is love. It is the foundation, the motivating force, the power is love. A love for to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. 1 John 4:8, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And every person in here is filled with the love of Jesus Christ, a love for Him and the love He has for other people. The more intimately we know Him, the more our love will grow. And this study, I hope, is to help us know our Heavenly Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I like what Paul said to Timothy. The goal, 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction is love. The goal of every teaching, the goal of every preaching should be, must be love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. The goal of our instruction, from a pure heart, and God has given us a pure heart, love flowing out of a pure heart. A good conscience that anytime our conscience convicts us, you shouldn't have done that, that we confess it as sin, immediately receive forgiveness, and continue to allow God, His love to be our motivation. I like Psalm 51:10. I pray it all the time as I see problems with my heart and in my mind. Create in me a clean heart. I like King James, a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. That's on with me every day because I see how much I need it. How much I need Him to work more and more and more in my heart. 1 John 4:19, we love, why? Because He first loved us. So the more we understand how much He first loved us, the more we will love Him. And that's where we're going today in this study, to help us more fully understand our Father's love for us. So our study is, here we got to it. How are we doing? Plenty of time. Our study is Romans 8, 28 through 30. And I have been on this for a month. This is the last Bible study that I've been working on. And every day that I go through this and read it again, the Lord shows me more and more and more. I'm so enjoying this study. Romans 8, 28. And we know. Stop right there. Do we? What do we know? You know, when you read the Bible, when you study, don't read over it too fast. If you'll just take it out word by word, the Holy Spirit can speak to you through every little word there. Because I read this over and over all my life, and just the other day, I stumbled over that word know. And the Holy Spirit says, Franklin, do you know? Do you know that I can cause all things to work together for good in your life? Do you know that? Well, I've read that, I've heard that, and I quote that sometimes and say that, but to what degree do I really know it? That God not can, not maybe, not will, but God causes, He does, He causes all things to work together for good for those that love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. The immensity of that statement is staggering. He causes in our life every day all things to work together for good. I don't care what it is. I don't care how horrible it is. I don't care how painful it is. I don't care how sinful it is. God will cause it to work all together for good for those that love Him. Isn't that awesome? Is that love or what? How much does He love us? To even take our weaknesses, our stumbles, our falls, our sins, when we don't love, and cause it to work together for good. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, that just, puts cold chills on me. You know, but it's at the, as it's like at this particular point in this passage, it's like the Holy Spirit said to Paul, "Paul, do you really know that?" And it's like the Holy Spirit said, "Paul, let me show you how much God has already caused everything to work together for good." So that we continue on. "For those who he foreknew," Paul, each one of us, "for those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." And here's that word, "these" again, this group, "these whom he predestined, he also called." So that's where the calling comes in. He foreknows us, he has predestined us, and now he's called us to fulfill it. He has called, and those he's called, he has also justified, and those whom he's justified, he also glorified. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? I mean, from beginning to end, Alpha to Omega, A to Z, beginning to end, he is going to work it. He already has. He already has. You are already glorified in heaven, in the eyes of the Lord, in eternity. It's a finished work, beloved. So, let's go back and go through it step by step. I got carried away with all of that. I've covered a lot of other work. Romans 8:28. "And we know this, that God causes all things to work together for good." For who? For those who love God, to those who are called. Well, who are the ones that love God? Those that he calls, right? Those that he calls are the ones that love God. That's you. Yes? That's each and every one of you, each and every one of us. He has called you. You are here today because he called your name. And because he loves you, and because he's working everything together for good in your life, you are here today. He has called you. Working it all together for good. So, next thing, who does he call? Those who he foreknew. Now, all of these verbs, foreknew, called, predestined, glorified, they're all in a particular tense in the Greek that makes it so emphatic. First of all, it's in the aorist tense. We don't have that tense in English. Aorist tense is it happened at a point in the past. It happened and completed at a point in the past. At a point in the past, it was God knew it all. And it's the aorist tense, and then the active voice is the subject did it, God did it. It's in the indicative mood. The action was complete, finalized, and it was a fact from the time he first foreknew you. It was sealed. Your destiny was sealed. He foreknew you. And those who he foreknew, those whom he foreknew, those he knew before they were born in eternity past, whose names were written from the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb. From the beginning, he had a plan for you, and he's working it all together for your good. His motive, he has loved you from eternity past. And there's other verses that back this foreknowledge up. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world because he loves you and was working all things together for good. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be predetermined, that we would be holy and blameless before him. And beloved, you are. You are. Holy and blameless before him because of the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Nothing, anything that we did, but he is working it all together for our good. Our good. 1 Peter 1:1-3. "To those who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again." You're here today, you're born again because he caused it. Because he foreknew you and he called you. And he caused us to be born again. Can you grasp that? He's working it all together for our good. It's like Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." So stop your running, brothers, sisters. He's going to get you. He's already got you, right? That's why we're here today. And those he haven't got yet, he's going to get them. He will get them. So, beloved, how special are you? How special are you? How greatly loved are you by your Heavenly Father? It's beyond our comprehension. I like 1 John 3:1, I believe it is. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed, has lavished upon us." Amen. Behold it. Look at it. Try to comprehend it. Try to get a hold of it. The love that our Father has for us. You are His child and greatly loved. Next, you were predestined, predetermined. Romans 8:29. "For those who He foreknew, He predestined at a point in the past to become conformed to the image of His Son." Now, how good is that? Your destiny is to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Day by day, from glory to glory, we're being transformed more and more into His image. Look at the person next to you and say, "You're beginning to look like Jesus." Hallelujah. That's true. That's true. Next time you get in a situation, somebody, and you're kind of getting frustrated at them and all, just look at them and say, "They're beginning to look like Jesus to me." It'll change the whole atmosphere, won't it? So good, so good, so good. Ephesians 1:5, in love, the motive of our Father was love. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. His will is to conform us into the image of His Son. His motivation is love. Ephesians 1:11. "Also we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will." Beloved, just take a deep breath and relax, because He's going to do it. And the more we relax and let Him do it, the faster it'll happen and the more it will come into being. As a sovereign, almighty God, your Father loves you and is going to take care of you, and He's going to see to it that it happens. Therefore, because He loves you, He called you. Because of all of that background, He called you. Romans 8:30, "And these whom He predestined, He also called." 1 Corinthians 1:22, 23, and 24. "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, oh my goodness, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God is in you." The power of God and the wisdom of God, because you're being conformed more and more into His image. You're loved, you're saved, your sins are forgiven, and you have been given eternal life. Just wrap your arms around Jesus. Oh my God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus, for so great a salvation. Help me understand more clearly your love, your love. Make that your prayer every morning. Hebrews 9:15, "He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." It's a covenant. It's a blood covenant, and He will keep His covenant. And because you're His child greatly loves, He's working all this together for your good. Those who love God are those He foreknew, are those He predestined, are those He called. And this is why we love our Father in Jesus Christ. His irresistible call was to your heart. It wasn't to your head. You called on His name because He first called you. Amen. His irresistible call was to your heart. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church. Now, to me, church is an all right translation, but in the Greek, the word church literally means ek out of klesia, called. In other words, he's saying to the called out ones of God, to all of the called out ones at Corinth, all of the called out ones at Impact, all of the called out ones around the world, to the called out ones of God, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus because of His blood, called saints because of His blood, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We call on Him because He first called us. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is He who calls you, who also will do it. Relax. It's going to happen. It's already happened. It's already sealed, signed, and delivered. It's like Jesus said Himself in John 10:30, my sheep hear my voice. You heard. That's why you're here today. You might say, well, I never hear His voice. Yes, you did. That's why you're here today. My sheep hear my voice, and He calls His own sheep by name. He's given you a name that no one knows. It's written in heaven, a new name. John 10:4, when He puts forth all of His own, He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow Him. Why? Why are you following Jesus? Because you're hearing His voice. You're hearing His voice. 26 and 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Hallelujah. I mean, who could come against the Lord God Almighty? Who could come against? Knowing this truth gives us an assurance and love of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of that eternal life. It's yours. Hold on to it. Don't doubt it. Enjoy it. Live in it to which you were called. And you made the good confession that you were a Christian. You believed in Jesus in the presence of many witnesses. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord who calls you into His own kingdom and into His glory. Beloved, I so enjoy in the mornings. I just recently started doing this, and it's working. It's powerful. Spending time in the morning just closing my eyes and seeing myself in His presence, in His glory. That's where He's calling us to, His kingdom. The kingdom is where the Lord is obeyed. The kingdom is where the king rules. And we want Him to be king in our life, that He sits on the throne of our life and we obey Him. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, so that, you're all of that, so that, for the purpose that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into that marvelous light of His glory. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9, you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? Acts 2:39, for the promises to you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. Ephesians 4:1-3, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called. How can we do anything else knowing that such great love called us unto Him? With all humility and gentleness, with all humility because we know I didn't do anything for this. It was all strictly a gift that was given to me. That brings humility to recognize that I don't have salvation because of what I did. It's because of what He did and determined in eternity past. In eternity past, and it will be in eternity future, with great humility. So all we can do is say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Showing tolerance for one another in love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. We're one in heart, one people, one with one another. We are family. We're brothers and sisters, every one of us, family. It's awesome. Because He's working all things together for good in our life. But salvation does not end with the calling. Those he foreknew, he also predestined, he also called, he also justified because he loves you. And he's working all things together for your good. He justified you just as if you have never sinned. Romans 8:30. And these whom he called, he also justified. Romans 3:24, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And 5:9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath to come, whatever that may be, through him, through Jesus Christ. And a verse that really paints a beautiful picture. I like pictures. It helped me to try to remember things. I have to see it. And a verse that paints a picture for me that I can see is Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15. When you were dead in your transgression and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive. Hallelujah. While we were dead, could do nothing, separated from God, dead, he made us alive. How did he do that? The verse goes on. He canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees that were against us. He canceled them out. That long list of all of my sins, all of my debt, the wages of sin is death. And all of the law that says you've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. He took all of that out of the way, canceled it out when he was hanging on that cross, crucified, and that spear went into his side, and the blood of the Lamb of God flowed down over that list that was nailed to the cross, blotting it out. No longer to be seen. And the accuser of the brethren comes before the Lord God, or God the Father, and says, "Do you see what Franklin did? Well, let me look." No. I don't see any sin in Franklin. I see the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's working it all together for our good, even when we sin. If that doesn't grab your heart and draw you to him, we love him because he first so loved us. That paints such a picture. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. Yes, it was. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And my words and the blood of Jesus flowed down, blotting out the list of our sins. In doing this, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through his Son, Jesus Christ. He disarmed the rulers and authorities. They cannot touch you. There is no sin in your life. They cannot. They are powerless. But when we, there's a little more to this, because when we do sin, we've stepped out of the kingdom of God and obeyed Satan in his temptation, and he has a legal right. God is just. He has a legal right to attack us. But it's like the Lord said to Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Peter, and your faith will not fail because I love you, because I'm going to work it all together for good for you, Peter. So, beloved, when we do, and we do, when we do sin, immediately confess it. Immediately confess it before Satan gets up there to Jesus and try to demand a legal right to attack you. But, you know, even if in his attacks, if we do not repent, even in his attacks, that's all right. No, it's not. It will cost you greatly. It can cost us. But even in that, God will work it all together for your good. Even in the worst of circumstances, no matter what happens to us, what happens to our bodies, no matter of this, if we would develop a mindset of every time something bad happens and I get even grumpy or something hurts me or a sickness or whatever it is, just the first and foremost, a mindset where the first thing that enters my mind is not complaining, but to say, God is going to work this all together for my good. It will change the whole picture, and it frees the power of the Lord to work immediately in our lives. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Where am I? Salvation does not end with justification. And he glorified you. And those whom he justified, he glorified. In the eyes of the Lord who sees the end from the beginning, who works all things after the counsel of his will, because he loves you, because he's working all things together for good for your life, it is finished. Beloved, it is signed, sealed, and delivered, your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for so great a salvation. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we thank you that you're working all things together for our good. Thank you, Jesus. Titus 3:5, he saved us not because of the righteous things we did, but because of his mercy, because of his love for us. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his purpose and his grace, which was granted us from all eternity. It's as Jesus said, it is finished. And just as the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Isaiah 46:11, I want us to listen to these verses because they speak and assure our hearts of the sovereignty of God that what he started, he will finish, that what he said will happen. Therefore, I have spoken. Truly, I will bring it to pass. You can rest on it. You can count it assured because I planned it. Surely, I will do it. In Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Boy, that is the truth. Declaring the end from the beginning. From ancient times, things which have not been done. He's able to make all things new, do a new thing in our life, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. And his good pleasure is to have you with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb in the presence of his glory. And that day is coming. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Salvation is from the Lord. Jonah 2:9 and Psalm 3:8. The Lord God Almighty is a father. He loves his children. He takes care of and provides for them what they need, what they cannot obtain for themselves, salvation and everything else. He is eternal, and he has seen to it that his children will be with him for eternity. God is love. And what's the rest of it? Love never fails. Amen, amen, amen. And this is why we love God our Father and the Son Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. Hebrews 9:12, through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all of us, having obtained eternal redemption. And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since death has taken place and the redemption of the transgressions, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For our eternal salvation, let's skip number 22 for time's sake, okay? And let's go to slide number 23. So if you are grateful for what he has done for you and you love your Father and Lord Jesus Christ, live a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. Showing and demonstrating your love and gratefulness, your appreciation that he has predestined you, called you, justified you, saved you, and glorified you. And how can you live a life that honors and glorifies the Lord? I like this verse. The only answer is to the degree that we love the Lord and our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 5:14 and 15, a very special verse for Katie and myself all for a long, long time. For the love of Jesus Christ controls us. To the degree that we love him, we are controlled by him. And that word that is translated into Greek there means to control us, to take hold of, to arrest as a prisoner, to capture, and to compel and motivate. The love of Jesus Christ controls us, captured us, motivates us. Having concluded this, that one, Jesus Christ died for all of us. Jesus Christ died for me. Therefore, all died. And he died for all so that those who live would, let's read it together, no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Your heavenly Father did all of this because you're His child, chosen before the foundation of the world. And He takes care of His own. He works all things together for good for His own. He loves you. You're extremely special to Him. You're more valuable than you can comprehend. Values determined by the price paid to purchase. So how valuable are you? The world is full of gold, silver, precious stones, but the most valuable of all is you and the person sitting beside you. God's diamonds, His jewels, His emeries, His rubies, His treasure is sitting right here in this room. And the world is full of it. And beloved, we should be treasure seekers for the Lord God Almighty, gathering His gems everywhere we go by proclaiming His goodness. Live a life. Oh, 1 John 3:1 again. Isn't that great? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. Amen, amen. I have a poem written in 93 when we were in India in the front of my Bible. I don't know how much of it is mine or how much of it came from somewhere else, but that's not important. It's the words that it expresses. Jesus cares for His own. The Lord is still on His throne. Wait a minute. I'm going to ask the worship team to please come because I want them to sing a song in the morning, end the service with a song in just a minute. So while they come, I want to read this poem. Jesus cares for His own. The Lord is still on His throne. Amen. And He lovingly cares for His own. His promises are true. He greatly loves you. He ever cares for His own. Jesus is still on His throne. He rules in behalf of His own. He bottles your tears throughout the years. He numbers your hair because He genuinely cares about every little thing in your life. He jealously watches over His own. You're precious in His sight, a valuable treasure in His light. For you He left His throne. He came down for His own. For you He was slain. Through His blood you were obtained. His treasure was found, redeemed from the ground. And with a shout of victory He returned to His throne and bears His right arm in behalf of His own. And expectantly He waits for each to be brought to His place. There beside Him on His throne, trophies of His grace proudly displayed as His own. And I will end this. I want to read the Apostles' Prayer out of Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, the New Living Translation. This is my prayer. This is the Apostle Paul's prayer for all of us. This is our Father's prayer for all of us. When I think of all of this, that God works everything together for my good, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long, how high and how deep His love is. And may you experience in its fullness the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. But then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God for those who love Him, for those of whom He's working all things together for good. Let's stand. Well, beloved, He's going to work it all together for your good, no matter what you're going through. Be assured of that. Be assured of that. Okay, the Lord was speaking. If anybody is you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Understand the why for your creation. Well, I believe we got that today, didn't we? I believe. For someone who is crying, Lord, where are you? I'm going to ask the ministry team to please come forward, because they are going to be here at the end of the service. So if any of these things speak to you or any other reason, anything else in your life that needs prayer, please come. The Lord loves you. He wants to work it all together for your good. He will answer your prayers. and He'll do mighty and wonderful things in your life. Where are you? I cried out and cried out, and He's in the fire with you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's in that fire with you. He's there with you to love you, to take care of you, to protect you, and you'll come out like those three without even the smell of fire on you because He cares about you. I saw it. He sees a broken heart, and your heart is broken like the shreds of glass. Someone in severe brokenness. The Lord is offering you His sincere mercy for your severe brokenness. Behold, I make all things new. If this speaking to you, come and receive prayer. The Lord will change things. Someone green with envy. Jesus wants to remove that garment of envy and replace it with a garment of contentment. Envy in our life. If this speaks to you, come, let them receive prayer. If you're feeling stuck into deeper waters, go deeper into the Word and your creativity will flow again. This is not the time to withdraw. The Lord has given us swords and spiritual weapons to confront the enemy. He's empowering over prayers and over faith, and we will walk in this, and we will walk in this victory. The Lord says, His sheep hear His voice. I am your shepherd. Listen to me and not the babble of the world. Turn off that TV. I have to do that all the time. Deliverance of depression, shame, fear, and poverty. Angels of fire are being released this morning. Yes, they're here to rekindle the fire and passion in your heart. They are blessing. They are all that is causing your passion. They are burning off all that is causing, covering. Oh, that is covering your passion. They're going to set you free to let your passion be expressed. Be encouraged. This is a new day, a new dawn. Anybody with lower left back pain, come. Tailbone pain problem, come. Head or brain issues, I qualify. Come. Nerves, come. Oh, our Father so loves us. He wants to work it all together for good for our life. Say that over and over. Wake up every morning and say, Lord, you're going to work this day all together for my good, no matter what it is, what it comes.